The Saturday Light Brigade, that's Devilish Mary and Simple Gifts. The Pittsburgh International Children's Theater Family Series joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Pittsburgh International Children's Theater Family Series presents Lily's Purple Plastic Purse through March 1st at neighborhood locations. In this adaptation based on Kevin Hank's award-winning book, families will discover what happens when Lily's favorite teacher confiscates her purple purse that plays music. Life turns upside down as Lily learns to share the spotlight with her new baby brother, too. Information and showtimes are available at trustarts.org/kids. Eve Goodman is here. I'm thrilled that she's here. She is somebody I've always felt connected to in music as well as just heart. We'll have her open up with a song, and then we'll catch up a little bit. Here's Eve Goodman.
Keeping close track of my heart, every feeling in check, it seems. Nothing ventured, nothing lost. I held back, then you held me. Found a box of letters I got full of old dreams that cut deep. There was a time I'd have read them and cried, why let the bitter take away the sweet? So here goes everything. I'll take a chance on you now that I've found a love I can trust.
Eve Goodman at the Saturday Light Brigade. How was your trip? And was it eventful? Was it white knuckly? Or
well, as long as you go slow enough, it's okay. So I just went very slow and tried not to put on the brakes.
Yeah, that's a nice song. That song is very anthemic. I don't know. Does it feel that way when you sing it?
It's a lot of fun to play. It's fun to play the guitar on it. And so, yeah, it makes me feel happy.
Yeah, there's just some of these songs that I think people will write that I don't know if I'd call them theme songs or anthems mm-hmm. or like here I am type songs. But that's do you open with that song a lot?
Actually, no. That's the first time I've opened with it. So I thought I usually wait to warm up a little more, but I thought I'd throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, you've already risked life and limb and fender to make it here. So what have you been up to lately? I know you've got a busy March. We're going to talk about some gigs later, but are you writing anything?
Yes, actually, I've been through a dry spell and feel like I'm finally coming out of it, and I've written a new song and working on some others. I was hoping to debut a new song today, but I want to live with it for a little bit. But I'm sure if people come out to see me in March, they'll certainly hear it. So.
Have you been through dry spells before?
Yes.
How do you cope with them?
Sometimes I'll just try to learn a bunch of other songs that other people have written or that I like. This past few years, I've really tried to work on, I'm trying to work on my improvising a little more, and I've had varied success with that. So I've been really focusing more on the guitar and learning different things.
And you mean instrumentally?
Instrumentally, yes.
You're not about to scat for us?
No.
Just checking. Because you've always been a great guitar player, but you can always learn more, I guess,
yes.
too.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't know, I immediately jumped to how do you cope with it, implying that it's something to deal with when you have a dry spell. It might just be a natural thing that you're able to,
Right.
Such is life, you know.
So I guess maybe if you could look at writing the way that the seasons happen. So when people talk about winter, thinking everything's dead, and actually it's a time of rejuvenation. So maybe if I think about the dry spell as actually it's a time of rejuvenation. I'm getting all these thoughts that are mixing up.
No, I like that.
Something will come out, hopefully.
I like that. For the many people who might not distinguish among the seasons anymore, it's kind of like when your cell phone battery wears out and you mm-hmm. have to recharge it. And sometimes you're recharging it from the lighter in your car. And I won't continue the analogy, but no, we forget. Today's a good reminder of the seasons. I don't know about you. As a kid, I think we should have national holidays mm-hmm. that for the beginning of every season, mm-hmm. or at least some kind of national celebration, because I think we tend to forget that there are different seasons
right.
because occupations are not as seasonal as they once were, and with air conditioning and heating and smart wool and everything else, clothing's not the same as it is anymore.
Right.
It would be good to recognize mm-hmm. the holidays.
Yeah.
Let's work on that.
Okay.
What would you like to play next? I want to be sure we don't talk sure. away an hour, but
well,
because I'll do that if I'm not careful.
Like I said, I had a bunch of gigs coming up in March. And one of them is with Tracy Drock, and I've been trying to, not trying, but have been doing a lot of different jazz songs with her, and because we both love those old tunes.
Yeah, the torch songs.
Yes. Yeah. But this is one by Fats Waller, Ain't Misbehavin'. To talk with all by myself, no one to walk with, but I'm happy on the shelf and misbehaving. I'm saving my love for you.
for certain, the one I love. I'm through with flirting, that's you I'm thinking of. Hey, misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. Like Jack Corner in the corner, don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me, I don't stay out late, don't need to go. I'm home about 8, it's me and my radio. Saving my love for Jack Corner in the corner. Don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me, I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about 8, it's me and my radio.
Steve Goodman at the Saturday Light Brigade. That was a great song to hear. It made me, I don't know if you saw me, turn to the computer, which I always apologize for doing. He was 25 when he wrote that. I was curious how old, you know, because Fats Waller, I'm always amazed. He was only 39 when he died.
I know.
And
yeah.
He wrote hundreds of songs. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine writing a song like that at the age of 25 and what that song has become today. And it's a really well-crafted song, too. So you'll be able to hear Eve at the Backstage Bar, which is in the Cultural District in Pittsburgh. It's a nice, low-key place, 655 Penn Avenue. Tracy will be there, too, that night,
no,
or is that
actually,
just you?
I'm wearing a bunch of different performers' hats in March. March 5th, I'm playing in another duo that I've started with Pete Freeman, who is
a pedal steel
guitar player who's really amazing. And then March 7th, I'm opening for Hannah and Maggie, who are an acoustic singer-songwriter duo from New York City. And Song Space at the Unitarian Church in on Moorwood in Shadyside.
Yeah.
And that's a really wonderful song series that they've started there. I think it's in its fifth year now.
Yes, it just celebrated its fifth anniversary, and that's 7:30, that show on March 7th, and we'll make sure we talk about that next week and the week ahead. And I understand Hannah and Maggie, who are from New York City, are just great.
Right, I'm very excited about opening for them.
And then Tracy and you perform on the 11th of March.
Yes.
That's the one that I was getting confused. And let's see, this is at
Mansions on 5th. And they've started a once-a-month music series on Wednesdays, the second Wednesdays of each month. And they have a bunch of different stuff there. And they're featuring us, and we're going to be doing some of our own originals. Tracy is a really talented songwriter too, and so we'll do some originals, but then also mix in a bunch of the old standards that we love to play and sing.
Yeah, like Ella Fitzgerald.
Yes.
And I just remembered Madeline Peru is coming to town.
Oh.
I don't know if you
No, I don't.
Saw.
When is she coming? I love her.
You know, it's funny. I knew you would. I mean, I had a feeling we've never talked about this. You know, sometime in March, I think. I'll look it up to find out. But I just read about it.
Yeah.
I think it was announced yesterday or the day before. And I was thinking that's a great I was thinking a couple of things. That's a great show. Then I was thinking, I wonder if we could get her to stop by and,
that would be cool.
And visit. What would you like to play next?
I'm going to do a song. I meant to say that first song I opened with is called Here Goes Everything. And it's a song that went through a lot of changes. And it's one of the few songs I co-wrote it with Nina Payson and also John Caldwell. And Nina is a good friend of mine in Nashville, and John Caldwell is a really talented musician here in Pittsburgh who produced my last two CDs. And this next song is also a song that the three of us co-wrote today together. It's called SOS.
Could've told you she'd be gone. Still, I hate to see you hurt. Stop talking like there's nothing left of you to love. I'll be the one to take your call. I'll turn you around from where you've been. When we're back upright, we'll take it from there.
Goodman, your voice gets better with time. It started good. Don't get me wrong, it started just fine. No, it's just this sort of mellow, even more comfortable feelings coming about. Madeline Peru will be here April 23rd. Not here, but at Carnegie Lecture Hall. Maybe here, but that's when she's coming. So she won't interfere with your March Madness. You've got all these gigs in March. Now, Eve also works with Pittsburgh Youth Symphony.
Correct.
And I'm curious, you've been at that for at least 10 years, right?
I've lived here since 2002, so
yeah.
12 years.
And you may not it just occurred to me to ask you this, is whether you've noticed changes in youth and their consideration of music as a profession or as an academic point. I guess I've noticed that a little bit over the years, that a lot of very gifted high school musicians are turning away from performance as a major, and in some cases even music, partly I think because of how expensive school is, maybe because their perceptions of what the industry are. Have you seen anything like that? You see far more kids than I do.
Honestly, I haven't really noticed that. I mean, I think I think truthfully, I hear the parents talk about it more than the than the children. I see the same so far. I think the same amount of kids every year that decide to go to a performance related school than not. But it's kind of equal amounts. I'd say every year we lose around 30 students that have graduated and going off to college. And I'd say there's like maybe like a quarter of them that are pursuing music, going to a music university.
I'm glad to hear that. It may just be, you know, those that it seems like there have been more that have not been making that choice from my perspective, but I have a limited perspective.
But I'd like to say, too, that even the ones that aren't, they still are, you know, writing to us and saying how they're still doing, you know, they're participating in their college orchestra and still doing music in some way.
That's got to be a great feeling.
Yes, yes, definitely.
If
I can just give a shout out to the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony, because we have our winter concert next Saturday, February 28th at 2 p.m. at Heinz Hall, and it is a free concert. It's a wonderful way to introduce your children to classical music, if you haven't done so. And we're doing music by Bizet and Richard Strauss and Sibelius. So I hope people will consider to doing that. And you can go to the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony website, pyso.org, and find out more information.
I'm glad you did. Although it's free, I think you need to get tickets.
Right. We have an e-ticketing service, and also we always, the day of the performance, starting an hour before, are sitting out in the box office lobby with a table of tickets. And it's really just for us to have an idea of how many people are actually coming to the concert, because over the hall seats over 2,600 people, and we would love to be able to turn people away, but we never do. I mean, I don't mean that as love to fill the pack the place. That's what I meant by that.
Well, it's a great opportunity, too. It could be that you've never been to Heinz Hall, and here you can go at no charge. You can bring your children, and if for some reason they get fidgety, you could probably sneak out in between selections played. And it's a, you know, having heard the orchestra play, it's really a wondrous experience to listen to them. Now, you took that route, for those who don't know you as well as I do, at Berklee for performance. Mm-hmm. And that was straight out of high school, right?
Yes.
And then was it Nashville right afterwards?
Yeah, so I was, actually, when I was a child, I did play violin and played in the Greater Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra. And then I picked up the guitar and fell in love with that, and that became my main instrument, and started writing songs. And during high school, I performed and then went to Boston University for a couple of semesters, but my heart wasn't into it. And then I transferred to Berklee College of Music and continued to play and write. And kind of got to a point in Boston. I had talked to a professor of mine at Berkeley and asked him where I should check out, and he suggested Nashville. And it was a weird kind of thing where I flew down there just to check it out, and it was just walking through the airport. I hadn't even been in the city yet, but I just felt like, yeah, this is where I should be. So I moved there, and really happy I did. I mean, I excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. I'm really happy I did, because it was just, I just learned a lot about songwriting and really appreciate that time that I did that.
How long were you there?
Close to 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. I hadn't realized it was that long. You wonder sometimes, is there a place where I might fit in mm-hmm. more than where I am now? Or what would it be like were I here instead of there? Some people this morning, I met a woman night before last that is in Pittsburgh to help care for a family member. She is a native of St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh, gosh.
And I immediately started to wonder, you know, what would it be like to live in St. Thomas? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, you know, we talk about right livelihoods sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, what is your natural thing to do for a living? What is your right place, you know, mm-hmm. your rightful place? And that had to be really exciting to feel, you know, hey, this is a habitat that mm-hmm. I can live in.
Yes,
and
definitely.
It seems like Pittsburgh's been good to you, too.
Oh, very good to me. I'm really glad I made the move and really love the city a lot. There's a lot to do, and it's
yeah.
great.
Eve Goodman is who you are listening to, and we're going to hear a few more songs from her. She's got a number of gigs in March. If you go to evegoodman.com, you can see her full schedule. You can also learn about recordings that she has available, and we'll talk more about them after the next song, I think. What would you like to do next?
This is a song on one of my recent CDs called As It Is. Gets to work by 8:30, sets the coffee to brew for the power suits who congregate down in the boardroom. Starting her day, fighting the urge to fade away. As it is, they act as if she's not there. She doesn't care. When 12 o'clock rolls around, she sits in her cubicle and thinks about what she would do if she were invisible. When they stand by her desk and talk as if their words are priceless. As it is, they act as if she's not there. As it is, she pretends she doesn't care. Thank you.
5 o'clock strikes its bell, they slip in their limousines and drive past lifeless factories from jobs shipped overseas, paying pennies a day to people who have no escape. As it is, as it is, as it is.
Eve Goodman, that's a really nice song. That's just a really tightly wrapped bunch of emotion. I mean, that's a really good song. It appears on the album What the Living Do, which I think is still the latest, right?
Yes.
I say that. Still the latest from 2011, and also available Peony and Beneath the Same Sky and Get to You. You can find all of those at evegoodman.com. I think we may have another one. It's another album, I mean, before. I know you have worse songs, but are you thinking of recording again?
Yeah, eventually. Recording's one of those things. I know people that love to record, and I, truthfully, it's just so... what's the word? Angst-ridden for me.
I'm not a fan of it because if you're a perfectionist, I think it really, you know, you just want to keep doing it over and over and over and over again.
Right.
I don't know if that's how you feel.
I'm not a perfectionist. I'm kind of like, I'd rather just put a tape in the middle of the room, hit record and say, play it. And I'm like, okay, that's good. there weren't too many mistakes in that, so. But yes, you get into that mode of being a perfectionist, and then it just, you know.
Yeah, or just to say that, you know, what is the singular, you know, recording of it as it is that's going to exist? What is it? What's it going to sound? What's that going to be like when? In truth, every time you play that song, it's going to sound a little different depending on who you're with and how you are. I did want to ask you, I almost forgot, I know this act called Dicey and somebody, Dicey and Paprika.
Dicey and Paprika.
Paprika,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you, I hope you don't mind talking about them.
No, not at all,
There are times I've wanted to book you and them to play as a trio here, but we've never been able to arrange that. Who are these people?
Dicey and Paprika, or they are song interpreters. So that's the best way I can describe them. They Dicey is very much the philosopher, and Paprika is very much the she loves to dance. She loves emoting with movement. So a radio show would be hard for her to express herself because she just always has to be moving. But they take songs that have been sadly relegated to elevator music and make it their own. So they love, you know, they do a cover of Stevie Nicks that makes it even more memorable than what Stevie Nicks has done, which I know is a big, some Stevie Nicks fans would be dismayed to hear of that, but they take the poetry of the song and really put it in the forefront.
Yeah, I'm realizing too that I'm assuming everybody would know Dicey and Paprika, mm-hmm. but we should include their last names, Dicey Stewart and Paprika LaRue, so right. you don't mix yes. them up with anybody else exactly. with those two names. Right. Yeah. They're performing tomorrow at Club Cafe, I think.
No. That's actually, unfortunately, an old show. They're remiss at updating their website.
But will they be out again?
Eventually, yes. Okay. They're actually Dicey, like I said, is much of a philosopher, so she's somewhere in a ashram somewhere.
Oh my.
I don't know, who knows. And Paprika has a little dance school in Yonkers where she teaches young little paprikas and paprikos. So she is she's up in New York right now, but they'll get together and work on a new show probably in the fall, have something in the fall. So
I've been to Yonkers. It's a interesting place mm-hmm. To go. Eve Goodman is here. We probably have time for a couple more if you'd like to play a couple more. I'm so glad that you are here. And check out evegoodman.com for more details. And she'll be at Songspace at First Unitarian Church March 7th. And the backstage March 5th.
Yes. Well, this is the title track off the CD, What the Living Do.
It's the everyday spoken. A sky's headstrong blue. Sink's been clogged for days. I think a spoon fell down and got stuck. And the Drano just smells dangerous. The dishes keep on crusting up. Waiting for the plumber, I still haven't called. It's the everyday spoken. A sky's headstrong blue. Through my open bedroom window, the heat's on too high, I can't turn it off. I was caught this morning, the paper bag breaking, my groceries strewn over the brick sidewalk. We want spring to come, we want winter to pass, we want whoever to call or not. We want that letter to be sent. We want to get that tender kiss. We want more, man, we want more of it. Oh, it's the everyday spoken. The skies had strong blue. Come and go, the to and fro. What the living do. When I see myself in a storefront window, I remember you. In the everyday spoken, the sky's headstrong. We are what the living.
Eve Goodman at the Saturday Light Brigade. I never thought about this before. Is it hard to figure out what to call an album? And if you're going to pick a song to be the name of the album, is it like picking among children? You know, how can you elevate one that way? Or do you just kind of know? Maybe I'm asking a question that I'm probably overanalyzing it. But
no, a lot of thought goes into even just what songs and the song order. And
I didn't even think about that. You know, in the olden days with phonograph records, boy, was there a lot of thought.
Even into, you know, the whole album art and concept albums. It's kind of a shame what technology has done to the whole production of music. And I mean, in a way, it's made it easier for do-it-yourself people, but it's really kind of...
Well, we buy pages instead of books, right?
Or
we buy chapters instead of books. And I don't know how I got into this conversation, but I was talking about the soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar when it first came out in the 70s, and it was a 2-record set. And disc one, it was made to go on a changer. So one disc was sides one and four, right. And the other was 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. So you could play one, plop, two, plop, and then flip them over and have 3 and 4, which, as I describe this, makes me feel extremely, you know, like, what era is this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's only 30, 40 years ago. But that was really meant to be listened to from start to finish like that.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of other albums that do that too. And these days, sometimes, you know, you'll only end up acquiring one song from a whole album. And it's got to be, as a musician, as your works start to be considered more discrete and singular like that, it's I don't know if frustrating is the right word, challenging, maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Where you just, and I guess you could say, although I would want somebody to pick up my songs and record them, and but at the same time, there is a certain amount of freedom you have when you can just dictate how you want to do something yourself. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the good part of digitalization of music. Plus, you can, I think, people have more diverse tastes than they maybe did at one time, or discovering more music, I think.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah. So. Well, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure and a lot of fun. So
yeah,
thanks.
We have to get you down here on a sunny day. What do you want to finish up with?
I'm actually going to... finish up with a Irving Berlin song, and I just, it's in a different tuning. I'm a big fan of a West Coast guitar player who does a lot of blues, acoustic blues stuff, and also takes jazz standards and makes them her own. And this is one that she did that I kind of lifted off of her. Her name's Del Rey.
Oh, yeah.
And this is her version of an Irving Berlin song called Face the Music.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's music and moonlight and love and romance, face the music and dance. There may be teardrops to shed before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay. Let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. But while there's music and moonlight and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
Thanks for being here.